You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Well, go ahead and put another one in the win column for the good guys. Win number 30. In game number 49, let's have a good time tonight, Kansas City. The phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Royals win a fourth straight game. Royals haven't trailed for a second in any of these four games in this current winning streak. The fifth winning streak in the first 50 games of the season. They keep pace in the division with Cleveland, and they take game one from division rival Detroit. Final score, good guys 8, Tigers 3. Again, the phone number is the same as the text line number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you were one of the near 13,000 in attendance tonight, we're not going to make you wait on hold. You jump to the front of the line. Again, 913-586-7610. Where do you want to start? Because you got a little bit of everything once again tonight. You know where I want to start. I want to start on the mound. Michael Wacha spinning the Royals' 24th quality start of the season. 24 quality starts in 49 games? Are you kidding me? That's where I want to start, so let's head inside the Royals clubhouse right now. Let's talk to the other half of tonight's starting battery. He's Freddie Fermin, kind enough to dial us in. Freddie, you got me?
Yeah, I'm going to ask about the pitching, too, because you're back there.
All right, I think we're getting Freddie situated. Freddie Fermin goes 2-for-4, drives in a run, scores a run as the Royals win by a final score of 8-3. Freddie, thank you very much for the phone call. You got me?
Hello, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, happy to have you. Great job tonight. What's the clubhouse like right now after that win?
You know, the energy is going. The guys are playing some ball and everybody together. You know, that's the most important here.
No doubt. What did you think of Michael Wacha tonight? 7 innings of 2-run baseball.
You know, Michael, great guy. Happy for him. The communication every time he make a pitches today. He gets some mix out there, and you see he's executed pitches. He throws 7 innings. Wow. Happy for him.
No doubt. Freddie, you got to tell me, were you flexing to Salvi after your RBI single in the 6th inning? What was your pointing to your bicep there?
You know, it's a little joke entre Venezuela. And so, you know, enjoy the moment. Have fun out there and just keep rolling this.
Can you tell me how Salvi's doing it? He's 34 years old, and yet he leads the American League in batting average.
He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. Happy for him. My respect to him. He's teaching me a lot. I'm learning about him, catching outside the game. Happy for him.
Well, happy for you as well. As you made your 20th start of the season tonight, Freddie, you're hitting .300 when your name's in the starting lineup. How good do you feel at the plate right now?
You know, waiting for my opportunity, learning, like I say, about Salvi. When the opportunity gets there, just work hard and be ready for that moment.
Freddie, gracias. Inglés es bueno. Gracias.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you. Freddie Fermin, kind enough to dial us up after the 8-3 Royals victory. Thank you very much to the Royals backstop, who, as I just mentioned, in those 20 starts, he scored 11 runs. He's hitting 300. Salvador Perez is an MVP candidate, and yet, if he's not behind the dish, this team's not taking a major hit. Now, Salvi still needs to be in the lineup. Let's not get anything confused. But the duo of Salvi and Freddie Fermin, that's a pretty strong 1-2. You see Freddie hitting in the sixth spot tonight. You know, and that leads me to a question I wanted to pose to you tonight. Who on this 2024 team has already won you over? Who were you curious about coming into the season? Who were you skeptical of coming into the season? And since in these 49 games, they've won you over. You're convinced. You're all in on the Freddie Fermin bandwagon. Who is it? 913-586-7610. That's what I want to know from you tonight. 913-586-7610. Because as we just saw this past weekend, with that 2014 team coming back and being celebrated, you had a feeling, a thought, a memory, a moment that came back to your mind with each and every one of those guys that was introduced in the celebration. Even the guys that weren't able to make it, the Duffies and Butlers, Nori Aoki, every one of them, when you're on a memorable team, a winning team, a championship team, every single one of them. You learn about them. You get to know them. They mean something to you. And the way that this team's performing, you're going to build that bond with them as well. Has it already started? I know how you feel about Salvi. We all feel the same way about Bobby Witt Jr. Who else? Who else has won you over early on this season? 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Let's start off with Judy from Shawnee. She was at the game tonight. Judy, what'd you think?
Hey, Bern. It's actually nice. Susie from Shawnee.
And oh, sorry about that, Susie.
That's okay. It's beach towel giveaway night, and I mean, what a tidal wave the Royals had tonight. They totally wrapped up those Tigers in the sixth. Detroit was a shell of a team tonight, but it was on the Royals' bucket list to bury Detroit in the AL standings. So catch a wave, Vern. We're sitting on top of the world right now.
Oh, what a call. Way to get us started, Susie. Beautiful. Yeah, look at the standings right now. The Royals still a game and a half back of Cleveland as they just continue to win, even though they're without their best pitcher and one of their three best hitters. They continue to roll. They've won 7 of their last 10. The Royals maintain their 1.5 game deficit in the division. They, too, have won 7 of their last 10. Royals have won 9 of their last 12, 13 of their last 19, which has allowed them to build quite the lead, or rather, put quite the distance between themselves and the third and fourth place teams right now in the American League Central. The Twins are 5 games back. Detroit, after this loss, now 6 games back. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. 913-586-7610. Noah from Kansas City, he was one of the near 13,000 in attendance. What's going on, Noah?
Hey, Josh. I was at the Royals game with some of my baseball buddies today, and nice. I was just thinking Michael Massey was one of the better players tonight. He did triple side of the tricycle.
Man, I'm really glad you mentioned that name, Noah. That's where I'm going. You know, if there was one guy that, listen, and I appreciate the phone call, Noah. A lot of these guys, you know, I get to know them. You root for them because, for the most part, they're all good dudes. They're all nice young men that you can't root against them. But on the air, when I'm talking with you, trying to give you my honest opinion, coming into this season, you know, Salvi's Salvi, Bobby's Bobby. I think Vinny's the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Michael Garcia wants, craves the moment, wants you to know that I'm better than this pitcher. Michael Garcia has that big game energy. So those four I was all in on. You know, signed, sealed, delivered. These are the guys you're going to be winning with in 24 and 25 and 26. Everyone else? No. Freddie Fermin, I was already sold on. To me, Freddie was like Michael and Bobby and Vinny. To me, they passed the evaluation season of 2023. Freddie, in his role, And I don't need anything more. I say that like he's not contributing all that much. I just mentioned he's a 300 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup this season. Okay, so Freddie Fermin, was all in on him. Michael and Vinny and Bobby and Salvi, the rest were question marks. MJ and Massey and Kyle Isbell, that Isbell's defense is going to keep him on the field. You know that MJ's one heck of an athlete, and that Michael Massey's a well-rounded ball player. To get to the big leagues, you got to be a 1% of the 1%. But to stay and thrive at the big league level, you need to do it over an extended period of time. So to see Michael Massey get off to this type of start, 27 games into a season, he has an OPS north of 800. He's hitting almost .285. He's reached base safely multiple times and now four straight games, and it seems as if he has a stranglehold on the five spot in the lineup. For as much as y'all want to bemoan the fact that the offense isn't getting much from the outfield, that you're not getting the kind of thump that you expect from left and right field, understand that you are getting an immense amount of offense, well above the league average production from catcher, shortstop, and second base. I understand what left field and right field normally signify, but their below average starts is being offset by an MVP candidate behind the dish at shortstop, and Michael Massey, who again, in the five spot this year, he's played 15 games as that protection for Salvador Perez. He's hitting .356 with an OPS near 1,100 in those 15 games. He's got a firm grasp as Salvi's bodyguard, a firm grasp on that role. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Guy in Lee Summit. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello, Josh. I'm coming from the game myself. Nice. And to answer your question, I'm thinking, Matt Quatero, he and his coaching staff put these guys with the pitching staff, he just puts them on such a short enough leash that I believe in the relief corps. This whole relief, I think every one of their ERAs will go down as the season goes on. I love the infield is solid. Like you said, the outfielders are just clutch enough in those late innings at bat. This team is going to go deep. And the crowds are getting bigger, but I love the relief staff and the way Quatero and the coaching staff use that. We had a hiccup with Duffy tonight, but I believe when he put in Stratton, I believed in Stratton all the way. Man. All the way.
Yeah, and shut it down, didn't
anyway.
He?
Yeah, he's great. I mean, all of them. Quatero said it best. He goes, they're not going to be perfect every night. They might have a hiccup, but he knows when to pull them. I've got to give our manager, I'm sold on him. Just sold. And thanks for the call.
It's a great phone call. You did all the work, Guy. A great phone call. Great submission. Matt Quatero, a great name to put in there. 913-586-7610. Guy says, we're going to go deep. I agree with him. You're going to go deep into the season with a chance of making it to the postseason. And I'll reiterate what I've been saying now for weeks. If this team can maintain its health, I don't see how it falls out of the race. As far as what you're going to do in October, who knows? Who knows? You know how much of a crapshoot that can be. How much a hot starter or two could just take over. We've seen Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola single-handedly carry a team deep into the postseason for the past few Octobers. But just get there. Just get there, and yeah, I'll go to battle with...
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Reagan, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, and then whoever you want to give the ball to in game 4. Michael Wacha's a former NLCS MVP. And then you have, you know, Alec Marsh coming out, touching triple digits out of the bullpen. I'm not saying he would, but he's doing 98 as a starter. Who knows what you would see with, you know, some postseason adrenaline pumping through the behemoth that is Alec Marsh. Woo! I'm getting a little bit too juiced. 913-586-7610. I'm with you with the bullpen as well. Guy, I appreciate your quick dismissal of the lack of production from the outfield. Your dismissal about the ERAs of, you know, Matt Sauer, Tyler Duffy, whoever's occupying those 7th and 8th spots in the bullpen. They should be dismissed because those two things, in my mind, are the easiest things to find at the trade deadline. Relief pitching and sluggers. You could do that all in one trade. Oakland, give us one of your relievers and Brent Rooker, you know, whatever. It's not difficult to find relief pitching and sluggers. It's very difficult to find starting pitching. And right now, I don't think J.J. Piccolo is going to be making many phone calls looking for starting pitching. In fact, Royals pitching, that's the rotation and the relievers combined, Royals pitching has held opponents to 3 runs or fewer in 57% of the games. You kidding me? Let's go to John, who's out in Massachusetts. John, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals win 8-3. Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. A little bit too warm,
actually. That was a great win. How about the stat, 124 RBIs out of the first 4 hitters in the lineup?
Wow.
That's amazing production.
And I wonder where that ranks. I need a little bit more context on it. It's a big number, though. It's an impressive number.
Yeah, it's got to be up there because Mikel Garcia is tied for the league leaders with Gunnar Henderson of Baltimore for RBIs out of the leadoff spot.
Is that right? I think he's second on the team behind only Salvi.
Yeah, and the fact that the bottom of the lineup hasn't really been getting on base that much, and he's still doing all that damage in key spots. And that's my other point. I think it's only a matter of time till MJ Melendez and Nelson Velazquez can really get going.
Yeah.
And I think when they can get, like, they were going good at the beginning of the season, and they hit the slump that they're in. But when those guys can get something going, it's going to be even better.
That's a terrific point, John. Thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, strong Monday night opening segment from you guys. Way to go. Shout out Freddie Fermin for the phone call. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling real good. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. The Royals are on pace to win 99 games. And as John just mentioned, yeah, okay, you're not getting a ton from the outfield, but you know what? Your stars are stars, and that's what they're paid to do. That's why they're under consideration for All-Star games. That's why they have the attention and notoriety and spotlight that they have shining on them. Mikel, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi were always expected to lead this team. Are they doing more heavy lifting than some expected? Yeah, sure. But Melendez has had his moments. Freddie Fermin's been consistent. Michael Massey, we just talked about it. Kyle Isbell's going to be there in the end for a gold glove in center field. Royals run differential, plus 60. One of only 5 teams in the sport north of 60. Let's go to John in Kansas City. John, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, my son and I just left the game, and we were kind of having a discussion about Salvi versus Bobby Witt Jr. start to the season, both having great seasons, obviously, but long-term this season, who do you think has a better shot at being top 5 MVP candidate? Or maybe the answer is both. So just kind of curious what you think about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, what do you think, first of all? Who'd you side with? Oh, he dropped. Okay. Bobby. I think Bobby's the answer. because I think the speed that, Bobby possesses will have his numbers at the end of the season looking better than Salvi's. Even though right now, again, Salvi's the guy that lead. It just always makes me smile that I write this down in my game notes. My game notes, by the way, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. I have a little Salvador Perez Triple Crown watch section on my game notes. And the fact that he's 34 and I'm following his Triple Crown chase 50 games into the season, it's amazing. 341 batting average, tops in the American League. 38 RBI, is second best in the American League. And his ninth home run, which he hit tonight, top 20 in the American League. But yeah, I'll still take Bobby Witt Jr. because when I think it's or when it's all said and done, I think he'll rank top five defensively at the shortstop position in Major League Baseball. I don't think Salvi will do that. Bobby will. I think Bobby will finish top five in stolen bases. I think he'll finish top 15 in OPS. Top 10 in WAR. I think his numbers across the board will be better. And good. Good for Salvi. God knows he earned it. Lord knows he deserves someone to help him carry this weight. The guy can only strap on the cape for so long. Now he's still wearing it. It's just nice that he has a running mate. We talked about it earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. If Salvi's Superman... You know, they were trying to make it out like a Batman and Robin thing. No, there is no Robin. Salvi's Superman has been for a while. And, you know, Bobby's Iron Man. Bobby's something different. Bobby's something that we don't have a comp for right now in Royals franchise history. Appreciate the phone call, John. 913-586-7610. Well, coming into the game today, Bobby had the third shortest odds of winning the American League MVP. Third behind only Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Speaking of which, the Yankees come to town in 3 weeks. I have tickets to every game, and I'll be giving them away up until the Yankees get to town. All you need to do if you want to win them is listen to the On Deck Show 1 hour before first pitch. We do it each and every day. It's our little trivia game called The Pitch Clock. So if you want to win those Yankees tickets, make sure you're listening tomorrow at 5:30 right here on 610 Sports Radio or on the Odyssey app. Royals win 8-3. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Wentz delivers again. Perez crushes it, deep to left center field. That's a fair ball, and it's gone into the fountains. Salvador Perez hits his ninth home run of the season, and the Royals extend their lead. It's 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth.
That was just getting started in the sixth inning. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, a 10-pitch battle between Salvador Perez and the local product, Joey Wentz. The 10-pitch battle ends with the lefty throwing a fastball down, but in the middle of the dish, and Salvi didn't miss it. 436 feet over the left center field wall, as Jake told you, his ninth home run of the season. Giving him two hits on the day, Salvi had a two-out single in the third. It's his 17th multi-hit game of the year. He ties Bobby Witt Jr. for the team lead. I mentioned Salvi and the offense was just getting started with that home run. They would score another five runs in that sixth inning. And a 3-1 lead ballooned into an 8-1 lead and led to an 8-3 final score. Royals win. They take the opener from Detroit. They keep pace with Cleveland in the American League Central. The boys are now 22-6 when they score four or more runs. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. One more note. That sixth inning, the seventh time this year the boys have scored at least six runs in an inning. No other team's done it more. We go to Scott in Kansas City. Scott, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, Vern, man. How you doing, man? Go Royals. Good to be see kind of where it's different a year, right, man?
Yeah. You know that's right.
Okay. I've got just a couple of things to say. I heard one of the announcers talking about where the Royals rotation kind of sits, and I was looking at it. I mean, 1 through 5, we're like top 4 or 5, like with the Dodgers and Yankees and like Red Sox and all of that right now. Yeah. And other than that, I mean, I think it's nice to honestly look at it. Man, we very well might be buyers. If we're kind of sitting where we're at, like in a month, like right before the 4th of July, man. And if we can kind of tighten up our bullpen a little bit and maybe bring in a fourth outfielder with a pop that's not, you know, going to be, you know, sort of, you know, not like Juan Gonzalez in his prime or anything, but you know what I'm saying. And as a decent defender, I think we're set, man. And we could make a real run at everything in October.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. Scott, appreciate the phone call. Let's hope that guy's in the system already. Right? You talk about the relief pitching. Let's hope that it's Carlos Hernandez or Will Klein or Sam Long who just got here. Let's hope that one of those guys start to take a stranglehold on one of those roster spots. You know, if that fourth outfielder, if and when it's needed, let's hope that it's Drew Waters. And then, you know, once you exhaust those options, once you say, okay, he ain't the answer, then I'm with you. Then I'm down to talk about a trade or two. I'm down to talk about just about anything when it comes to this team. But the trade stuff, again, I'll reiterate, I'm uninterested until the calendar flips to June. I'm just not really all that interested in discussing trades. But you're right about the rotation. Yeah, dive into the numbers. I think they're the second best rotation in the American League. 49 games into the year, the Royals' rotation has tossed 24 quality starts, almost half the games. Their collective ERA is 3.06. They're averaging more than 5 2/3 innings every time they take the ball. No rotation in the American League has logged the amount of frames as the Royals 1 through 5. Let's go to Floyd in Gladstone. Floyd, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 8-3. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thank you very much for taking my call. Hey, yes, I want to tell you, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it. Also, I'm going to talk about Michael Walker. When I heard that the Royals signed him, I was so happy because I used to be a longtime Cardinals fan, and I'm glad he's, you know, with the Royals now. He did a great job tonight.
Yeah.
And Mike, this is like for him. And also, I was happy with the way Michael Massey did tonight. He was fantastic.
It was a good night for all the Michaels. Waka, Massey, Michael Garcia had an RBI, a knock, and a walk, ran the bases very well. Yeah, solid night all around. Floyd, appreciate the phone call. Waka's 10th start of the season, his 5th quality start. He, too, is averaging more than 5 2/3 innings every time he takes the ball. Royals are now 19-8 here at Kauffman Stadium. No team has won more in their home ballpark than the boys in blue. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, appreciate you hanging on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Vern?
Great.
Just a few notes here. You know, Michael Walker looks great. That back half of the bullpen's kind of a little bit shaky, but, you know, like you said, wait till June and call up Carlos Hernandez, Chad Pennington, one of those guys. And, you know, if the offense continues, we'll be in October. That's all I got to say. Thanks for the phone call, Vern.
Yeah, thank you. I get Mark Sanchez up here. See what Ken O'Brien's up to. Who else do we want to see? Vinny Testaverde? I know Vinny Pasquantino would be down with that. Who else? Joe Willie Namath? Certainly. Got to have the great number 12 in the building. Why am I blanking on so many Jets quarterbacks? Oh, that's embarrassing. I would definitely lose that bar game if we were playing name obscure Jets quarterbacks. That just simply wasn't enough. You know, I bet you're really good at that game. Cody and Gold. Which is a perfect transition to let you know that Cody and Gold tomorrow will be live at the Urban Youth Academy. Now, Urban Youth Academy, always worth the visits, the support. Cody and Gold, yeah, obviously everyone supports them. But James MacArthur is going to join them at the Urban Youth Academy tomorrow. 12 noon, General MacArthur in the building. J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager and Vice President of Baseball Operations. J.J. makes his monthly stop by Cody and Gold tomorrow morning at 10:30. 913-586-7610. Let's head down to Dallas. Talk with Ben. Ben, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me on, Vern. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Calling from down in Dallas. Just wanted to say, you know, our fans appreciate baseball so much more than they do down here. And it's just not even close. So I wanted to start off by saying that. Second of all, I think Brian Sweeney really deserves some flowers for this season developing pitching that we've been preaching on for so long, how desperate we were as an organization to have some sort of, you know, development within the pitching department, as well as, you know, bringing in effective starters from other teams. I mean, you look at Ian Kennedy and, you know, there's countless other Gil Mesh from the past, and we bring in Waka and Lugo, and then you develop Singer, Reagans, and Marsh, plus the bullpen. I think he deserves a lot of credit, along with the rest of the coaching staff. But, you know, him in particular to shore up a weakness for the Royals, I think, has been huge this year, and I just really wanted to give him a shout-out because he definitely deserves it.
Oh, great phone call, Ben. Thank you very much for listening. And, yeah, all right, you know, they might be poor baseball fans down there in the Metroplex, but they helped raise Bobby Witt Jr., so they're good in my book. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Bobby, by the way, picked up his 25th extra base hit of the season tonight. That's top five in Major League Baseball. Royals are now 30-19. They take game one from Detroit, 8-3, the final score. We'll take our final quick timeout. We're back with more of your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 0-2. Breaking ball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Green drifts back, still going at the fence, leaps, can't make the catch. It's in and out of his glove. Fermin comes in to score from third. Melendez was off on contact. He rounds third. Throw to the plate, gets by Rogers to the screen. Melendez scores. Renfro goes all the way to third. Two more runs for the Royals, and it's 6-1 in the bottom of the sixth.
Wow, great call, Jake Eisenberg. As heard here on 610 Sports Radio, Hunter Renfro, he thought that was gone off the bat. He pimped that just for a second. Still found his way to third base. Two-run double for Hunter Renfro, a part of a six-run sixth inning for the good guys, and the Royals roll 8-3 the final score, and it really wasn't even that close. Royals are now 30-19. They maintain their game-and-a-half deficit in the division, but continue to pad their second place positioning in the division. Game two with Detroit coming up tomorrow, 6:40 for the first pitch. More on the first pitch coming up in just a moment. But I see Tony in Lewisburg wondering wondering about Hunter Renfro. Tony from Lewisburg. Vern, do you think Hunter will turn it around and get it going? I hope so. He has 5 hits in his last 6 games. So there you go. There's something. I hope so. But, you know, now last year is, you know, you see last year, you tack on what he's done so far in the first 49. Yeah, it looks like a trend. It looks like fading. We'll see. You know what? No, I want to get back to the question I asked to open up the show. Not who are you disappointed in. I know who you're disappointed in. I know who you're questioning. I want to know who's won you over. Who did you come into the season curious about? criticizing, skeptical of? Who was it? Who's won you over in these first 49 games? We've had Brian Sweeney's name mentioned, Matt Quatrero, Michael Massey. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 660, Vern, my answer is Michael Massey. Solid defensively, great situationally at the dish. He gives me Ben Zobrist vibes. From the 816, Vern, I'm loving some Mikel Garcia. From the 816, Vern, it would be Bobby Witt earning every single penny of that contract. So happy about it. JK and Lee Summit says I'm all in on Seth Lugo. He reminds me of the terror that Edinson Volquez went on in that World Series run of 2015. From the 816, another vote for Michael Massey. Ryan from Olathe says Alec Marsh won me over. I'd pretty much written him off as the black sheep of the rotation on opening day, but he's proven to me that he's just as good, if not better, than any of the other four. Henry from Topeka, I'm sold on Alec Marsh, and I'm sold on Michael Massey. And then Elsie and KC just wants to hear from Big T in Shawnee. Well, Elsie, maybe you'll get your wish. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go to Tim in Overland Park. He was at the game tonight. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener and first-time caller.
All right, thank you.
Well, hey, I've been to three of the last four games. I'd like to say that I've been high on the road. I'm high on something right now.
Are you okay, Tim? I think Tim just... Did he get attacked by a bear? Oh, that's too bad. Aw, oh, man, Tim, we were just getting to know you. Attacked by a bear live on the radio. Unbelievable. Jack in Parkville. Jack, you're on 610 Sports Radio. How are you, Jack?
What's up, Burn? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
What a night for the Royals. I mean, that was a great game to be at. Really fun. Waka was great. I mean, seeing some power in the middle of that lineup makes us look a lot better, makes us look like a true contender.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're close to contenders if we fix that bullpen that we got right now.
What's wrong with the bullpen?
I mean, I'm just not sold yet, you know. Five runs in the last two games just isn't going to do it, but...
No, I mean, come on, get real, get out of here. Nope, done, bye. What are you talking about? Don't throw that garbage on the radio. Stop. You're talking about a bullpen that came in the eighth inning tonight with a six-run lead? Okay, that's not your big dogs. We're going to talk about last night's game where they came in trying to protect a seven-run lead? I mean, that's just not fair. Come on. The guy that gave up three runs last night was DFA'd earlier today. Don't lump that in. That's malarkey. Right? We all agree. That's ridiculous. No, I'm not saying you need to be sold on all eight relievers, but let's not act like the trifecta of MacArthur, Zerpa, Schreiber. You can throw in Will Smith, who's thrown nine straight scoreless appearances, world champion in Chris Stratton. Is it the best 1-5 at the back end of a bullpen in Major League Baseball? No. Is it one of the five worst? No. That's probably middle of the road. Again, I don't know how much baseball you guys are watching. I watch a lot. I just don't see these lockdown bullpens around Major League Baseball. I mean, Detroit has one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball. What'd you do against them tonight? I mean, I don't want to crush the local kid. Didn't record it out. You scored five runs off of their bullpen. I mean, you scored five runs off of that dude. You scored six runs off of their bullpen. Cleveland has a terrific bullpen. I mean, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Fine. The Yankees are great. Fine. Well, who else? Who else do you say, oh, we definitely lose that head-to-head matchup of bullpens? We can't hang with them. Nah, I just don't buy that, man. Derek in Midtown writes in on the text line, Vern, 13,000 fans that cheered to the last minute on a Monday. Man, it was an amazing feeling to be there. I love the hustle from this team. And I think Freddie Fermin's critical to Salvi's continued success as a healthy top player in Major League Baseball. Oh, Derek, that's a great point. And the reason why I think it's a great point is the same reason why it was so easy to go all in on Bobby Witt Jr. because of how quickly Salvi acknowledged the greatness of Bobby Witt Jr. How early in his second full season Salvi was heaping praise on Bobby, like he's going to be the greatest Royal of all time. He's already the best player on this team. When you can earn the respect of Salvador Perez, of course you have my respect. The reason why Salvi, well, he wants to win first and foremost, but the reason why he's been so quick to embrace the DH spike in the spike last season in being the designated hitter, playing more first base, is because he knows the type of work that Freddie Fermin's putting in, and he sees the type of production that Freddie Fermin is putting up. So yeah, Freddie has earned the respect of Salvador Perez, which has allowed Salvi to go, man, we're a good team with that dude in the lineup. We win when that dude's in the lineup. We're 13-7 when that dude's in the lineup. Yeah, put him in the lineup. I'll go to first base. I'll be the DH. And Salvi's no dummy. He knows he needs to put up numbers for another 3-4 seasons. You know, they don't have to be MVP-like numbers, but, you know, you need to run into 20 home runs for another 3-4 seasons if he wants to make it to the Hall of Fame. And yeah, taking some work off those knees, off those hips, off that back, it's only going to help. That's a great text, Derek. I appreciate it, man. Let's go to Kathy, who's out in Los Angeles. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Vern. I was just looking at Waka pitching tonight, and it reminds me of last season, May 15th of last year, when they were playing the Padres, were playing the Royals last year.
Yeah, remember that.
Waka had no hit the Royals into the eighth inning. I think Massey's the one that got the first hit off of Waka. So that was one of the main reasons I was so glad that Waka went to the Royals, because, you know, he wasn't going to be with the Padres anymore. So I'm so glad that the Royals were smart enough to pick up Lugo and Waka, because these guys have been so amazing for us, and that's what the Royals needed, was the pitching.
Yep. Now, you know your stuff, Kathy. You're always on it. I appreciate the phone call. Hope you're doing well. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. John from Olathe writes into the text line, Vern, I'm having fun looking through the stats and seeing Salvi's name at the top of everything. I'm with you, John. It's wild. Salvi, fourth most RBIs in Major League Baseball. The second best batting average in Major League Baseball. We're less than a week away from the...
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
That's quarterbacks. That just simply wasn't enough. You know, I bet you're really good at that game. Cody and Gold, which is a perfect transition to let you know that Cody and Gold tomorrow will be live at the Urban Youth Academy. Now, Urban Youth Academy, always worth the visits, the support. Cody and Gold, yeah, obviously everyone supports them. But James MacArthur is going to join them at the Urban Youth Academy tomorrow. 12 noon, General MacArthur in the building. J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager and Vice President of Baseball Operations. J.J. makes his monthly stop by Cody and Gold tomorrow morning at 10:30. 913-586-7610. Let's head down to Dallas. Talk with Ben. Ben, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me on, Vern. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Calling from down in Dallas. Just wanted to say, our fans appreciate baseball so much more than they do down here. And it's just not even close. So I wanted to start off by saying that. Second of all, I think Brian Sweeney really deserves some flowers for this season developing pitching that we've been preaching on for so long, how desperate we were as an organization to have some sort of, development within the pitching department, as well as, bringing in effective starters from other teams. I mean, you look at Ian Kennedy and, there's countless other, Gil Mesh from the past, and we bring in Waka and Lugo, and then you develop Singer, Reagans, and Marsh, plus the bullpen. I think he deserves a lot of credit, along with the rest of the coaching staff. But, him in particular to shore up a weakness for the Royals, I think, has been huge this year. And I just really wanted to give him a shout-out because he definitely deserves it.
Oh, great phone call, Ben. Thank you very much for listening. And, they might be poor baseball fans down there in the Metroplex, but they helped raise Bobby Witt Jr., so they're good in my book. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Bobby, by the way, picked up his 25th extra base hit of the season tonight. That's top five in Major League Baseball. Royals are now 30-19. They take game one from Detroit, 8-3, the final score. We'll take our final quick timeout. We're back with more of your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 0-2. Breaking ball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Green drifts back, still going at the fence, leaps, can't make the catch. It's in and out of his glove. Fermin comes in to score from third. Melendez was off on contact. He rounds third. Throw to the plate, gets by Rogers to the screen. Melendez scores. Renfro goes all the way to third. Two more runs for the Royals, and it's 6-1 in the bottom of the sixth.
Wow, great call, Jake Eisenberg. As heard here on 610 Sports Radio, Hunter Renfro, he thought that was gone off the bat. He pimped that just for a second. Still found his way to third base. Two-run double for Hunter Renfro, a part of a six-run sixth inning for the good guys, and the Royals roll 8-3 the final score, and it really wasn't even that close. Royals are now 30-19. They maintain their game-and-a-half deficit in the division, but continue to pad their second place positioning in the division. Game two with Detroit coming up tomorrow, 6:40 for the first pitch. More on the first pitch coming up in just a moment. But I see Tony in Lewisburg wondering wondering about Hunter Renfro. Tony from Lewisburg. Vern, do you think Hunter will turn it around and get it going? I hope so. He has 5 hits in his last 6 games. So there you go. There's something. I hope so. But now last year is, you see last year, you tack on what he's done so far in the first 49. Yeah, it looks like a trend. It looks like fading. We'll see. You know what? No, I want to get back to the question I asked to open up the show. Not who are you disappointed in. I know who you're disappointed in. I know who you're questioning. I want to know who's won you over. Who did you come into the season curious about? Criticizing, skeptical of. Who was it? Who's won you over in these first 49 games? We've had Brian Sweeney's name mentioned, Matt Quatrero, Michael Massey, Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 660, Vern, my answer is Michael Massey. Solid defensively, great situationally at the dish. He gives me Ben Zobrist vibes. From the 816, Vern, I'm loving some Michael Garcia. From the 816, Vern, it would be Bobby Witt earning every single penny of that contract. So happy about it. JK and Lee Summit says I'm all in on Seth Lugo. He reminds me of the terror that Edinson Volquez went on in that World Series run of 2015. From the 816, another vote for Michael Massey. Ryan from Olathe says Alec Marsh won me over. I'd pretty much written him off as the black sheep of the rotation on opening day, but he's proven to me that he's just as good, if not better, than any of the other four. Henry from Topeka, I'm sold on Alec Marsh, and I'm sold on Michael Massey. And then Elsie and KC just wants to hear from Big T in Shawnee. Well, Elsie, maybe you'll get your wish. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go to Tim in Overland Park. He was at the game tonight. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener and first-time caller.
All right, thank you.
Well, hey, I've been to three of the last four games. I'd like to say that I've been high on the road. I've been high on right now.
Are you okay, Tim? I think Tim just... Did he get attacked by a bear? Oh, that's too bad. Aw, oh, man, Tim, we were just getting to know you. Attacked by a bear live on the radio. Unbelievable. Jack in Parkville. Jack, you're on 610 Sports Radio. How are you, Jack?
What's up, Burn? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
What a night for the Royals. I mean, that was a great game to be at. Really fun. Waka was great. I mean, seeing some power in the middle of that lineup makes us look a lot better, makes us look like a true contender.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're close to contenders if we fix that bullpen that we got right now.
What's wrong with the bullpen?
I mean, I'm just not sold yet, you know. Five runs in the last two games just isn't going to do it, but...
Come on, get real. Get out of here. Nope, done, bye. What are you talking about? Don't throw that garbage on the radio. Stop. You're talking about a bullpen that came in the eighth inning tonight with a six-run lead? Okay, that's not your big dogs. We're going to talk about last night's game where they came in trying to protect a seven-run lead? I mean, that's just not fair. Come on. The guy that gave up three runs last night was DFA'd earlier today. Don't lump that in. That's malarkey. Right? We all agree. That's ridiculous. No, I'm not saying you need to be sold on all eight relievers, but let's not act like the trifecta of MacArthur, Zerpa, Schreiber. You can throw in Will Smith, who's thrown nine straight scoreless appearances. World champion in Chris Stratton. Is it the best 1-5 at the back end of a bullpen in Major League Baseball? No. Is it one of the five worst? No. That's probably middle of the road. Again, I don't know how much baseball you guys are watching. I watch a lot. I just don't see these lockdown bullpens around Major League Baseball. I mean, Detroit has one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball. What'd you do against them tonight? I mean, I don't want to crush the local kid. Didn't record it out. You scored five runs off of their bullpen. I mean, you scored five runs off of that dude. You scored six runs off of their bullpen. Cleveland has a terrific bullpen. I mean, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Fine. The Yankees are great. Fine. Well, who else? Who else do you say, oh, we definitely lose that head-to-head matchup of bullpens? We can't hang with them. I just don't buy that, man. Derek in Midtown writes in on the text line, Vern, 13,000 fans that cheered to the last minute on a Monday. Man, it was an amazing feeling to be there. I love the hustle from this team. And I think Freddie Fermin's critical to Salvi's continued success as a healthy top player in Major League Baseball. Oh, Derek, that's a great point. And the reason why I think it's a great point is the same reason why it was so easy to go all in on Bobby Witt Jr. because of how quickly Salvi acknowledged the greatness of Bobby Witt Jr. How early in his second full season Salvi was heaping praise on Bobby, like he's going to be the greatest Royal of all time. He's already the best player on this team. When you can earn the respect of Salvador Perez, of course you have my respect. The reason why Salvi, well, he wants to win first and foremost, but the reason why he's been so quick to embrace the DH spike in the spike last season and being the designated hitter, playing more first base, is because he knows the type of work that Freddie Fermin's putting in, and he sees the type of production that Freddie Fermin is putting up. So yeah, Freddie has earned the respect of Salvador Perez, which has allowed Salvi to go, man, we're a good team with that dude in the lineup. We win when that dude's in the lineup. We're 13-7 when that dude's in the lineup. Yeah, put him in the lineup. I'll go to first base. I'll be the DH. And Salvi's no dummy. He knows he needs to put up numbers for another 3-4 seasons. You know, they don't have to be MVP-like numbers, but, you know, you need to run into 20 home runs for another 3-4 seasons if he wants to make it to the Hall of Fame. And yeah, taking some work off those knees, off those hips, off that back, it's only going to help. That's a great text, Derek. I appreciate it, man. Let's go to Kathy, who's out in Los Angeles. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Vern. I was just looking at Walker pitching tonight, and it reminds me of last season, May 15th of last year, when they were playing the Padres, were playing the Royals last year.
Yeah, remember that.
Walker had no hit the Royals into the eighth inning. I think Massey's the one that got the first hit off of Walker. So that was one of the main reasons I was so glad that Walker went to the Royals, because, you know, he wasn't going to be with the Padres anymore. So I'm so glad that the Royals were smart enough to pick up Lugo and Walker, because these guys have been so amazing for us, and that's what the Royals needed, was the pitching.
Yep. Now, you know your stuff, Kathy. You're always on it. I appreciate the phone call. Hope you're doing well. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. John from Olathe writes into the text line, Vern, I'm having fun looking through the stats and seeing Salvi's name at the top of everything. I'm with you, John. It's wild. Salvi, fourth most RBIs in Major League Baseball. The second best batting average in Major League Baseball. We're less than a week away from the one-third marker of the season, and the 34-year-old Salvador Perez is second only to the great Shohei Ohtani in batting average. Because now that Shohei doesn't have to pitch, he can go straight Barry Bonds at the dish. I don't want to start talking about Shohei, but man, he's on right now. If you're about to go home, flip on MLB Network and just watch the greatest weapon the sport has ever seen. Scott in Phoenix writes in, Vern, 30-19 ain't bad at all. And if Cleveland keeps winning until we play them, so be it. Let's go Royals. Oh, I can't wait for that series. Man, I am not afraid of Cleveland at all. Yeah, great bullpen, no doubt. But I'll take Bobby and Salvi over Ramirez and Naylor. I'll take this rotation over that rotation. I'll take this defense. I'll take this team speed. I'll take this Royals ball club over Cleveland any day of the week. A few more from the text line. Raj in the Ozarks is loving the team chemistry right now. Also, congrats to Cody and Gold for lining up James MacArthur. Yeah, again, if you missed it, the General will join Cody and Gold tomorrow at 12 noon on 610 Sports Radio. J.J. Piccolo scheduled to join the guys at 10:30. Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern, what the team is doing to start the year has me totally locked in. This rotation looks like the real deal. Anthony, there's just no doubt about it. And then you throw into the conversation the fact that Daniel Lynch just yesterday tossed 6 2/3 innings of three-hit baseball. No walks, 6 punch-outs. Chris Bubich yesterday went 3 scoreless innings in his first rehab start with AA. No walks, 3 punch-outs. You have depth as well. So I know it upsets some when I say I'm not interested in tinkering or transactions or trades or any of it until we flip the calendar to June. I know you find that frustrating, but maintain through May has been my mantra since the offseason. And while, yes, what I'm asking them to maintain has changed as this red-hot start to the season, the second-best start to a season in franchise history has taken place, maintain now means maintain your health and maintain your depth. Because right now, that's the only thing that I see knocking this team off course. Rally Mantis, of course you're out there. Of course you're listening. You better be rooting for Salvador Perez. He says he's also voting for Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans for the Cy Young Award. I don't think you have a vote, Rally Mantis. I want to know what you're going to get tattooed on your body, Rally Mantis, if they pull this off. Rally Mantis is as diehard a Kansas City sports fan as you're ever going to find. Tatted up with World Series memorabilia, Super Bowl statistics, all over. I want to know what you're going to get done from this team, Rally Mantis. Let me know. You don't need to decide right now, but I want an answer by the end of the series against Detroit. After Tarek Skubal and Cole Reagan square off in the finale, I want an answer. Yeah, how about that? Wednesday afternoon, if you don't have plans, bring yourself to Kauffman Stadium. But tomorrow, another great pitching matchup. Alec Marsh, Casey Mize. Yeah, I'll be there. 6:40 for the first pitch. On Deck Show begins at 5:30. Royals win 8-3. Yeah, and again, the best part about this team, the next day's starting pitcher. So yeah, that was a great win, but guess what? We get to watch Alec Marsh tomorrow. Royals have won 5 straight here at the K. They look to make it 6 tomorrow. I appreciate you listening, Kansas City. I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
A blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Past Quintino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center. Way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.